Candace Michelle, and welcome to another podcast for KCIW, your community radio station. With me today is Ron Hedenskog, Mayor of Brookings, and Kelly McLean, City Council member. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about the 4-cent fuel tax measure that's being placed on the May ballot for the voters to approve. But first, I'd like to hear a little bit about yourselves. Mayor Ron, would you like to start?
Yes. I'm a longtime member of the community and raised my family and children and grandchildren here. They've all gone to these schools. I was elected to city council in 2007, and I've served as a councilor till 2012 and was appointed to be mayor. And I've since ran and been elected as mayor twice.
So you've really had some time on the ground here. I mean, it's not like you're a recent transplant.
Almost a native.
I love that. And Councillor McLean, how about you?
I'm actually kind of a transplant. We came from Arizona. That's where I grew up, went to school, went to Arizona State University, got an engineering degree, worked at Honeywell Aerospace for about 16 years. And on a vacation, my wife and I discovered Brookings back in 2003, decided we wanted to try to move here. And in 2008, we pulled it off and moved here full time. I've been doing real estate since I've been here, and we really love it here.
Yeah, we all do, those of us who've moved from other places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real estate, interesting, because you sort of came here when the bubble was popping.
Yeah, it was. It's been a tough run these last 6 years, real estate wise.
Yeah.
And Brookings, I'd say right now, is just starting to recover.
Yep. Yep, you can see little signs of it, which is really
right.
It's nice. Things are starting to sell.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what we're here to talk about is the fuel tax. And I thought we'd start it out by talking about what the current condition of our roads are. How do you think our roads are?
We don't have to think about it. We did a study several years ago. An engineering firm by the name of Wildan did a complete comprehensive street engineering plan for us, in which they came back and told us that if we was to double the amount of money that we were taking in for street maintenance, we could realistically see that our streets would be fully maintained and up to standards in 10 years.
Ooh.
So at the current rate, it would have been 20 years, but in 20 years, you already have streets already degrading again, so we weren't keeping, it was not possible to keep up at the rate we were collecting revenues.
Right. And I've noticed that, you know, some of the streets look fine, but there are other streets that...
Yeah, there's kind of like if you take Fifth Street, for example. We've spent a lot of money on Fifth Street. The section north of Ransom is good. Mm-hmm. The section up into Easy Street is now good. That project mm-hmm. was done last year. And that project basically exhausted our entire yearly budget for streets. And now we've got the section in between that's, you know, is starting to show wear and tear, potholes, stuff like that. So, I mean, just keeping up with the streets is tough. And with the amount of money that we currently have, it's almost impossible. It kind of is impossible.
And I remember hearing that if you even start to repair some of the potholes, it automatically triggers that Americans with Disabilities Act, where if there are problems with the sidewalk, i.e. it's not wide enough, you have to widen the sidewalks. I mean, you it's not just a simple, oh, well, we'll just fix this little thing. It triggers a whole series of other things.
Yeah, any kind of street work you do does trigger that. And with the ADA Act, it's very expensive to do any kind of street maintenance. And then the other thing that's associated with that is our orphan sidewalks. You know, we're a city of orphan sidewalks. You can be walking along and all of a sudden, where did my sidewalk go?
The sidewalk
and
just stops.
And you see it 100 yards ahead of you, it picks up again. And that's something that we'd really like to connect those mm-hmm. Sidewalks and make it a complete system. And with the current amount of money that we have, that's just something we can't afford to do.
And it actually can be dangerous.
It can be.
You know, I saw a woman walking her baby in a stroller, and she wasn't really watching where she was going and came to the end of the sidewalk and there was a ditch there. Yeah. So it was like, oh, no, 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 this is not.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in the ditch.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the things that contribute to the daily wear and tear on the streets? Rain, I'm thinking.
I think rain, yeah, rain is brutal. Once it gets, once the water gets underneath the street, it starts wearing it out really quick. And that's why you'll see a pothole start, and if it's not addressed, it can become a major issue really quickly. That's it. It ruins the under, you know. Not getting too technical, I'm not,
right.
You know, but
right.
You see it happen. Once a pothole, the key to it is when you see it start, get it done right away. And that's what we want to do, is we want to have more funding so we can attack it right away. And we're going to save money in the long run by doing
right.
that too.
And, you know, January, the month of January here was beautiful this year. I mean, it typically is not. We have a couple of weeks. But, you know, this whole past week, we've just been slammed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we got 12 inches of rain in my yard. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, that's a lot of rain.
It's pretty average.
Is it pretty average?
Yeah.
And I've seen some of the slides around the city. I mean, that's serious stuff when the road starts to slide.
Yeah.
And that can eat up a huge...
And that currently is eating up a huge... the slide problem that we're having on the North Bank Road is a very expensive project.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's one on Marine Drive.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Marine.
another slide.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a slide on, was it Old County Road that was going down? And
right.
Wasn't there the hillside was starting to go?
Below St. Timothy's and across from the park, there was an area there. But that's been repaired.
Yeah. But that was hugely expensive to do that.
Yes, we had to bring in outside contractors with specialty equipment to fix that.
So it's not like... the streets, you fix the streets and it's going to stay that way and it's never going to have any problems. There are going to be problems. And I would assume that traffic can be a problem, and especially if it's heavy. You know, I'm thinking lumber trucks and RVs and things like that.
Yeah, and we have a lot, if you look at the community, we have a lot of large trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I moved here, I've never seen so many. You know, 1 ton, 3/4 ton crew cab, heavy duty trucks rolling around. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, make a living and need to have trucks like that. And if you drive around the neighborhoods, those are a lot more wear and tear on streets than say a little Honda Civic or something.
So do you know approximately how much money comes in every year for repairs, and where does that money come from?
We started a SRF program for streets I'm thinking it was before I came on board in 2007.
SRF?
System Replacement Fees.
Got it.
So currently in your utility billing, there's four SRFs, streets, stormwater, sewer, and water.
Mm-hmm.
And that we collect those. And we started out with the SRF. We collected it for 5 years and built up a sum. Then we did a street study, as we mentioned, Will Dan did, and then we went after it with a pot of money, and we were able to do a lot of work for about 4 or 5 years until we exhausted that pot. And if I remember right, it was about 6 to 7 years to exhaust the pot, because we had about $135,000 a year coming in. We'd already saved up a pot, so I think it took about 6 to 7 years to exhaust it, but we are currently exhausted that pot. So we have to build it up now for the next projects.
And to be specific too, we understand, it's there's four different SRFs. The street one on your bill, when you look at your water bill, it's $2.98 every month, which is $35.76 a year that each person who has a water bill pays into that fund for street replacement and repair.
So if you're not paying a water bill,
you're not contributing to that fund, yeah.
And I'm assuming water bills are generally paid by homeowners.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess they could get passed on to renters, but
typically not. I think most renters have the utilities in their own name.
Right.
So
okay. So that's where the money comes from. It's clearly not enough, because what you said before.
That's about 130. That brings in approximately $137,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The Will Dan study indicated that was about half of what we needed to get up to a 10-year maintenance schedule.
So somebody had this bright idea about a fuel tax. Who was it?
The state.
The state?
The state's ruling was only the state could collect fuel taxes, and they changed that about a year ago and allowed communities, cities, to collect a fuel tax. So the first I heard about it was about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I introduced it to the city council and asked them to take into consideration that we could establish a fuel tax in the city and start picking up more money for our street maintenance. And as I looked at the numbers, I became convinced that it was a great way to go, and that I felt it'd be a real bargain for a city citizen. And my hardest sell on the city council was Kelly McLean.
And Kelly!
Yeah. Always resistant to change.
And he could quickly see that it just wasn't going to go anywhere. And so I just kind of rested on it, and we talked about it every once in a while. But pretty soon, Kelly really took a look at the numbers, and I thought probably we have something to sell to the voters when Kelly came, turned around and said, hey, this is a bargain.
It really is.
I mean,
being the engineering background, I said, okay, so let's see what this is gonna, you know, what it's gonna really cost and how much money we can really generate with it, and have a very minimal impact on the citizens. So basically, just to go back in the, you know, the boring numbers, we collect right now $2.98 a month, which gives us a pot of $137,000 approximately. And so to get to where we think we need to be to bring our streets and get rid of these orphan sidewalks and more projects, we feel that we need $300,000 a year in that fund to be able to get there. In order to do that through the SRF fees, we would have to raise the fees from $2.98 a month to $6.53 a month. Yeah, exactly, ouch. That would cost, instead of each citizen who has a water bill paying $35.76 a year, they'd be paying $78.30 a year. So it would add another $40 or so to the bills. But there's a, you know, the citizens of Brookings aren't the only ones that drive on our streets. There's a lot of county residents that drive on our streets. There's a lot of California residents that drive on our streets. There's tourists that drive on our streets. And so the nice thing about this idea that Mayor Hedenskog came up with is, by taxing fuel, and just to go back to his statement, the state allowed us to tax fuel, but that money can only be used for road maintenance. We can't use it for anything else, just to be clear on
that.
Which is good. It's right. And so so if we were to tax 4 cents a gallon, I've got some numbers here, just kind of a matrix to give the voters an idea of what that's going to cost them. And I broke it down into, you know, five types of users: an extra heavy user, someone who's, you know, driving a lot with a large vehicle, and, you know, that heavy user, a moderate user, a normal user, and a light user. And so, just to run some of the numbers. So, and remember, what we're going to do is, if we put in this, if we're able to pass this tax, which I certainly hope we are able to, we're going to eliminate that SRF fee from the bill. So not only are we not going to more than double it, we're going to eliminate it completely. So that will go away. So that
the immediate homeowners,
almost a $36 savings right off the bat, mm-hmm. and probably going to be more like a $78 savings per year right off the bat if we, you know, because we're going to have to get the money somehow.
Right.
If you're an extra heavy user, I say that's someone who drives around here around 15,000 miles, which that's a lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a realtor and I rarely get over 6,000 a year. So 15,000 miles with a vehicle that gets 10 miles per gallon, the tax, if you buy all your gas in the city of Brookings, that's going to cost you about $60 a year. So more than
it's
the
still
more
less
the, but
than,
less than what it's what's yeah. going to have to be the 78. So
right.
it's still a savings of $18 a year. If you're a heavy user, that's someone I consider who drives around 12,000 miles a year, and this is combined vehicles, and has a combined mileage of around 15 miles per gallon. That cost would be $32 a year. So still less than what we're currently paying today, and $46 less than we'll probably have to be paying in the future. A moderate user, if you drive about 8,000 miles a year, and you get about 15 miles a gallon average, that's going to cost you about $21 a year. a savings of potentially $57. Normal user, 6,000 miles, 6,000 miles a year, 17 miles a gallon, that's $14 a year.
Wow.
And a light user, which this was my dad, fell into this, he was retired, drove very little, 3,000 miles, average 20 miles a gallon, that's only $6 a year.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
Remember, we're going to be saving money, mm-hmm. and we're going to more than double the amount of money we have to get our roads and our sidewalks in shape. So this is one of those situations, you know, people always say they wish government would do more with less.
Yes.
This is an idea that our mayor came up with, where we actually can do more with less. And the reason we're going to do more with less is because the huge influx of Crescent City and Smith River citizens that come up and fill their tanks up at Fred Meyer and that.
Yep.
I've been behind them. I've seen the 5 or 6 jerry cans in the back of the truck. They'll
yep.
fill up the, you know, they take forever. Those people now are going to be contributing to this fund. Also, those huge motorhomes that drive through town and clog up traffic all the time in the summer, and they stop and get 80, 90 gallons at a time, they're going to be contributing to this fund.
Right.
That's how we're going to save money for the locals. I mean, Brookings really is, and with the timber industry, you know, the problems with that and all that kind of stuff, we are having to become a tourism, you know, city in order to survive. And so tourism cities survive by taxing your tourists. Because
right.
if you don't tax your tourists, it's no sense in being or consider yourself a tourist town.
Right.
The only money that the city collects from tourists right now is from people that stay in hotels.
Right.
They pay a slight tax, and that money, a third of that has to be used toward tourism promotion. So the city only collects maybe like $81,000 a year from tourists, you know, straight up.
And I would think that 4 cents a gallon, you're not really, I mean, that's not a huge jump. You're not going to be crying about that.
No, you're not even going to notice.
You're not going to notice.
Once it's in place, yeah.
It's right.
Gas prices change daily
right.
by 4 cents.
Right.
It's something, and you are, but you are going to notice that every month your water bill is going to be less.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll always notice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it just makes so much sense.
Right.
It's really gotten me, you know, passionate about this cause, and I know that there's this, you know, you say the word tax and people, you know, their immediate response is no, but the fee we charge, you know, it's called a fee, but in my mind it's a tax.
Yes.
And this is something that's important for the voters to know. It's the council, the mayor and the council, we can adjust that fee without a vote of the citizens.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We can, if we need the money.
Right.
We can't adjust it up above 4 cents. The ballot measure will be at 4 cents.
Oh, I'm talking about the system replacement fee.
Oh,
that
yes,
yeah.
you're correct.
If we sit down and mm-hmm. we're doing our budget and we need the money to do mm-hmm. it, and our source for getting that money is the SRF,
mm-hmm.
then we can adjust that, and we don't need citizen vote to do that.
So, as an example, when we had the sinkhole at the city that crossed Elk Drive, I believe that was a. I can't remember the amount, but I'm going to guess it was well over $500,000 to fix that sinkhole.
Oh my God.
So it exhausted our stormwater systems replacement fee, and we had to borrow more. We actually had two sinkholes at the same time, one up on Ransom, and both were very expensive. And so we had to go out and borrow money to fix them, so we raised the SRF for stormwater to cover the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And the citizens don't get to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an as needed. I mean, we have a responsibility
right.
to maintain the city and keep
exactly.
it running. And if we need the money, we got to figure out. So hopefully the citizens will realize here is by doing this, we're going to eliminate that fee. That's part of this proposal.
Right.
And they're going to have vote in this tax. Now, we can't raise that tax without their vote. Now the citizens have a say mm-hmm. in how much that mm-hmm. you know can go up, where today they really don't. So we're trying to... What was the campaign they used on the Home Rule? We're trying to protect their right to vote. We're going to let the citizens protect their right to vote, and we're going to be able to have more money with less financial impact on our citizens. So
yep.
this is
sounds
the
like
classic
a win-win.
Win-win.
Yeah,
this doesn't
exactly.
get more win-win
now,
than
does
this.
Now, does anyone get exempted from this? Are there, like, commercial fishing people or... Are there any?
Councilor Hodges was adamant about making sure that we wrote into this an exemption for commercial. And his goal was particularly for some of the local, perhaps loggers that have to drive out in the woods many miles a day, and contractors that are spending a lot of mileage moving from job to job. And so we obliged him and wrote in an exemption for commercial so that he could come on board. And it was a unanimous vote in the council to go forward with this, him included. And so, yes, we did write into it an exemption for commercial. And I don't want to go into the details because it's a little confusing. But, there is the possibility that anyone operating commercial vehicle or vehicle for commercial use can work with our finance director and get a rebate on their taxes.
Oh, okay.
And remember, this will not apply to what's considered red diesel. That's a dyed diesel that is used when, like, for equipment out logging and stuff, where you're running the machines that aren't driving on the roads.
Okay.
This tax will not apply to red diesel.
Okay.
Also, out on the fishing boats, they'll run red diesel also. So, the current taxes that the state charges doesn't apply to that fuel. Neither will this one.
Okay.
So, this is just for vehicle, the gasoline that you would pump, you know, to run your car on the road. Yeah.
Now, you've not been able to get any figures, though, from the gas stations about how much, right?
Yeah, and you know, the gas stations, obviously, they're going to resist any kind of a tax. So, they were not willing to share their usage. But what we were able to do is there was about, 15 or so cities in Oregon that currently do have a fuel tax. And so by looking at their numbers, they were willing to share their numbers and what their tax amount, what it equaled in revenue. And so you can make an educated guess. I mean, you've got a city like Warrington, a population of 5,135 people. We have a population of about 6,500. They have a 3-cent tax, and they're currently bringing in $281,000 a year with that 3-cent tax. We're looking at a 4-cent tax.
Right.
And we are going to cap it at $300,000.
Great.
So we're not going to take in any more than that. Another one, Hood River, is a highway town, a population of 7,300 people. They have a 3-cent tax, and that's bringing in $270,000. So, you know, there was some, you know, the initial people who came out, you know, voicing against this said, well, they don't have any idea. That's not true. We have a pretty good idea of what kind of revenue we're going to see. And being a border town, right next to California, we may find that we can raise our $300,000 with much less than four cents.
So when you say cap it, what exactly does that mean?
At $300,000, we're not going to collect more than $300,000 a year. So if we hit that and correct me here if I'm wrong, Ron, but the way it's written, if we say hit the $300,000, say August, October, whatever date, we have the ability to turn off the tax at that point.
I don't believe it's turn it off.
Okay,
what we're going to do is adjust it down for the next year.
Okay, so yes.
So,
if we bring in more that year, then the next year we can reduce, the way the law is written, we can reduce that tax amount the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do some math and figure out where we need to be, you know, the next year based on that tax.
So are you looking at this as a permanent tax?
No, this ballot measure, we're asking the citizens to approve for 3 years.
Okay.
Give us an opportunity to look at all the numbers, and then we can come back with them at the end of 3 years with more perfect numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it gives them a chance to get a feel for it, too. So we're just asking for a 3-year tax this time, but at the end of 3 years, we'll probably come back for an extension.
Right.
And we want to, yeah, we want to find
a number that really works.
Yeah, this way we can fine tune. Is it 2.56% or what, you know, what's the, you know, how many, exactly what we need to, you know, to set the tax rate at to get the money we need. And it'll also give a chance for the citizens to see some of the improvements that we can make with the, with the added money that we have now. So.
Yeah, it seems to me it will make a big difference.
I think it will.
You won't have to.
I know
to,
it will.
Yeah.
I just know it will.
Because I remember going out with Lori Price and looking at some of the roads, and she said, yeah, see, this was the project we were going to do next, except we just spent all of our money on the slide.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, ooh, ouch. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So when does this go for a vote in front of the people?
May 19th, I believe the ballots are due in.
Okay.
So you'll get your ballots a couple weeks before May 19th.
And is there an alternative? I mean, if this gets voted down, what's the alternative?
Raise SRF fees or don't repair roads.
Yeah. And certainly I would say the second one is not really a viable option.
Yeah.
Not if we actually want to attract visitors.
Right.
You don't want to be driving.
Yeah, realistically, we're going to have to raise SRF fees.
Which will only hit property owners.
Only hit the property owners. Right. Anyone who's currently getting a water bill from the city of Brookings.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only people that will be paying for the roads.
And there is material here that people can pick up here at City Hall if they want more information, or?
I would recommend if they want to find out more, they would catch Kelly on the streets if he can then talk to him.
And Kelly gets ambushed. He thought he was a realtor, but he's not really.
I would be more than happy to do some, you know, question answer get-togethers with groups if they'd like to ask more questions about it.
Yeah, that'd probably be a great thing. Is there a phone number that they can use if they want to talk to you on the phone? Is there a place where they can meet? I mean, what do we do here?
The city manager's prepared some brochures that are going to go out with the utility billing.
Oh, excellent.
So
I think
we're scheduled to send out three brochures about a month apart, and we're going to start right away on the first one.
Excellent. And I've noticed that there are some right out here on the table at City Hall. There's brochures about it, so that's good information as well. Okay, any last comments, any last thoughts about this? We obviously want to make as palatable people as possible, right?
I believe this ballot measure is 881. Vote yes on 881, the fuel tax for City of Brookings.
I like that.
And I would say, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, we're all of us on the city council and the mayor, we all get a water bill.
Yes.
And we currently pay this.
Yes.
We're not trying to figure out a way where we can pay more either. I mean,
none of us
like paying taxes. It's, you know, we all try to avoid it. So that's why this is such a great idea, because we are going to pay less and we're going to live in a city that has better streets and sidewalks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dying to hear someone come up with a good argument against that. You know, I haven't heard one yet.
Well, don't hold your breath, right? Because it could happen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both very much for coming and telling us about this. I think this is a good thing for the citizens to know is happening. And
thank you.
You know, give them an opportunity to be heard.
Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks for providing this service to the community. This is
awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us for this discussion about the proposed fuel tax measure with Mayor Ron Hedensgog and Councilman Kelly McLean. If you enjoy these podcasts and want to hear more, please consider supporting KCIW, your nonprofit community voice. Go online to our website, kciw.org, and become a founding member. This is Candace Michelle. Thank you.